Today's shir is Masechta Ksuvos Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah how Giyaris, a girl who converted, Vashivuyan, a girl who was captured amongst the Goyim, and there's a real concern that they had relations with her, Vashivcha, and that's a non-Jewish maid, Sheniftu, that were redeemed, Vishnizgairu, or converted, Vishnishtakru, or freed. So the halacha is, if these girls are less than 3 years old, so even if they had relations in their situation, as we've learned and will continue learning, the halacha is psuleh chayzrim, that the psulim come back, so they considered psulois, and therefore the ksuba is masayim, like the ksuba of a psula. However, v'yeshlam times psulim, and furthermore, they have a right, the husband, if when he has relations with her, discovers that she's not a psula, has a right to say that this is an unacceptable situation. The Mefarshim make a number of interesting points in learning the Mishnah. First of all, what does the Mishnah say? Hagiyiris. So one thing the Rishonim say is it doesn't want to be called akutis. We don't want to call her a guy, because we're not supposed to call her Giyiris. After she became a Giyaris, we're not supposed to remind her that she was originally non-Jewish. Also says the Chassam Sofer, we're saying HaGiyaris, it refers to Rivka. Rivka was a girl who started off non-Jewish, started off in the family of Besul and Lovin, but became a Giyaris before she was 3 years old. That's when Yitzchak married her, and therefore she was considered a Besula. So HaGiyaris, we go back to the first Giyaris back in the Torah, to Rivka. Then the Ritva makes an interesting observation. It says the Mishnah doesn't remain consistent. The Mishnah begins Hagiyaris Vashvuyah Vashivcha, and then says Sheniftu Vishnizgairu Vishnishtachru. It's not lined up consistently. So he says, so some Rishonim say the order really doesn't make a difference. But Ritva explains like this. When we speak in the first group of the Mishnah, we speak about who are the most significant people in Klal Yisrael. So a Giyaris is a very significant person. A Shvuya, a girl who was captured and ransomed, she's a regular Jewish woman. There's nothing so special. Vashivcha is even less. So we go in order from top to bottom of who's the most significant. On the other hand, when the Mishnah continues, the Mishnah is now telling us what mitzvah should be done. So the mitzvah pidyon Shvuyim is a very, very important mitzvah. So that's why it says Niftu first. Nizgairu, converting non-Jews is not a mitzvah in our Torah. So that's why it's mentioned second. Nishtachru, freeing an Eved, or freeing a Shivcha, is actually an Aveira. Oiver Basay, that's why it's mentioned last. The Rishonim also point out, why does it say, Shen Niftu? Vishen is Garvish Nishtachru, Lashon Rabim. We're talking about a specific girl. So some Mefarshim answer that the Mishnah is teaching us, Shen Niftu, that let's say this girl was ransomed, and she wasn't alone when she was ransomed and when she was in captivity. There were other people with her. And those people are saying that nothing happened. That wouldn't change the halacha. If she was ransomed when she was less than 3 years old, then we don't have a problem because psulei chayzrim. And if she was over 3 years old, it wouldn't help the fact that there were other people there.
Even shnei
eitim. And the same goes with Nizgairu, and the same goes with Nishtachru. Even if she was Mizgai with her parents, and her parents said that she's fine, it wouldn't help. Shita says, the reason the Mishnah uses the Lashon Rabim is to say you could have one girl that had all three of these events happen to her. She was Niftu, she was Nizgairu, she was Nishtachru, she had everything bad going on in her life, but as long as it all happened before she was 3 years old, we consider her a Besula. Then the Rishonim also point out, the Mishnah saying Subasa Masayim V'yeshlam Tainas Psulim is actually a redundancy. If we're giving her a Masayim, so obviously we consider her a Psula. And if we consider Tainas Psulim, obviously she's deserving Masayim. Why does the Mishnah have to say both? So Rishonim answer, Subasa Masayim is to teach us that we would think that since we are really concerned that she had relations, it's just a technical thing that the Psulim come back, she shouldn't be entitled to the Messiah. Teaches us the Mishnah, she's entitled to the Messiah. On the other hand, since we're assuming that she had relations, we should certainly be concerned and not have a complaint if we find that her psulim are missing. That's what the Mishnah says, that no, Habsum are supposed to come back. And if they're not found there, there's a real tainus psul. Begins the Gemara, a fantastic sugya. Omer Rav Huna, Ger Katan Matpilon Yisrael Das Bezdin. Ger Katan Matpilon Yisrael Das Bezdin refers to a situation. The way that we try to explain is that a ger, we have a child who's not of age, and he comes to Beis Din to have a geris. So what is exactly the situation? So all the Rishonim agree that if only his mother brings him in, or only his father brings him in, and says, we're not becoming gerim, we want our child to become a ger, that is the situation that our Gemara is referring to. If there's a situation that both parents bring him, but they're not becoming gerim, only he's becoming a ger, we have a machloikis, is that the situation? And then another situation that most Rishonim agree is also the situation which could happen, a child is found, we know he's not Jewish, but he's in a Jewish environment, he's in Jewish community, and we want to be Megayer him, but it's not, he's not coming with his family. So how could a geris be done? So the halach is, Matbilon Yisrael Das Bezdin, we do a geris for him, Bezdin does the geris. So there's a fundamental question that everybody asks. One question is, the Gemara is only talking about tefillah. What about milah? We know that geiris requires tefillah and milah. So the Gemara is only talking about the tefillah. Where's the milah? So the simple answer is that milah is only doable by boys. We're not only talking about boys, we're also talking about girls. Another teretz is that milah is something that we understand cannot be done over. So we do it when he's a child, we can't do it over when he's an adult. But tefillah, I would think, that since I could do over the tefillah when the child becomes an adult, maybe the tefillah should be repeated. Teaches us the Gemara, the tefillah that's done al das bezdin, that's the only tefillah that's required. The third teretz the Rishonim give is, as we learned in the Masechta Yevamos, in the process of doing a geris, first milah is done, and then tefillah. So that's why the Gemara speaks about the tefillah, because that's the last step in the geris process. But then there's another question. We know, and we discussed this at length in Masechta Yevamos, that an important part of the geiris is the Kabbalah's mitzvahs, that the person accepts to do the mitzvahs. Here we're dealing with a katan. He doesn't have the ability to accept doing mitzvahs. So how can we have a geiris? So there are a number of answers given. One answer I saw given, simple answer, is that the requirement for Kabbalah's mitzvahs is only when Kabbalah's mitzvahs is an option. When we're dealing with a katan and Kabbalah's mitzvahs is an option, it's not an option, it's not required. Another teretz that I saw is that, and this we're going to work with this concept later, Mitzvah Shem, that the geiris here is indeed only a geiris that's midrabbanan. And therefore, even though it doesn't have Kabbalah's mitzvahs, it's midrabbanan acceptable. Another teretz that the Chassam Sofer says, interesting teretz, is that why is the reason that we have to have, why is Kabbalah's mitzvah such a crucial element to geiris? Says the Chassam Sofer, because here we have a person who was a guy his whole life, acted like a guy, was fine, and now he's going to become a Jew. So how do we know he's going to start doing what a Jew is supposed to do? So that's why we need Kabbalah's mitzvah. But here we're talking about a child. He has no experience acting as a non-Jew, so that's why Kabbalah's mitzvah is not required. But the Tzafnis Paneach, the Ragachov, has a beautiful mahalach. The Tzafnis Paneach mahalach is that Bezdin here takes the role of the Das. It's not just Bezdin is sitting here and acting in the role of a Bezdin, like we have to have a Bezdin by every Geiris. Bezdin is, the Das of Bezdin works for the child. And the Nefesh Chaya says a beautiful raya to Ravart. He says, look at the wording of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Matbilin Oisai al Das Bezdin. What does that mean, Matbilin Oisai? Usually, they have to watch the tefillah. So he says, the tefillah of this child is like when we take a keli, if you have a new vessel, we have to take it to the mikveh. So the vessel has no das. I, the owner, put it into the mikveh. Bezdin is the das of the child. Matbilin Oisai. Bezdin have to take this child and put him into the mikveh. And that's why their das could work for this child. Says the Gemara, Mike Mashmon, why are we saying that this geiris works? The schus uloi, because it's a schus to become a Jew. V'zochel adam shloi b'fonof. And we could do a schus for a person even without his consent. So Tosfos has a very long Tosfos here that asks that how does the concept we have throughout Shas, this concept of Zochen L'Adam Shloi B'Fon of work, it works for Shlichus. In other words, if I'm picking up this item on your behalf, it becomes yours. Why? Because I become your Shliach. Because you certainly want me to take it for you. But as Tosfos, a cotton doesn't have the ability to make a Shliach. So how could Zochen L'Adam Shloi B'Fon of work for a cotton? So some Rishonim, because of this, the Ritva, says that Zchiya and Shlichus are two separate concepts. It doesn't work because of Shlichus. It works that I could do you a favor. It has nothing to do with Shlichus. Tosfos says, and this is something we said a moment ago, that this is why it works, because it's only Midrabanan. Midrabanan, the Rabbanan said, Zchiya works for this child. Another Teretz, following what we just saw, it also said from the Ragachover, is that Beis Din is an active participant in the Skeiris. It's not just Beis Din as a spectator. They're an active participant. And therefore, they are not Ketanim, and therefore they could do the Zchiya. Another Teretz that Tosfos gives is, where do we say that there's a difference that we need Shlichus or we don't need Shlichus, is when it's not a Schus Gomer, when it's not a perfect favor, because nothing is perfect in life. But becoming Jewish is a Schus Gomer. And by Schus Gomer, we always do Zchiya, even if the person that we're doing for is not able to have Shlichus. And Rav Kivayga says a very nice pshat in Tosfos. Rav Kivayga says, because why does Shlichus work? Because Shlichus works is because you could appoint me as a Shliach. And a cotton can't appoint a Shliach. By something that's a Schus Gomer, there's no need to appoint it. It's obvious that I should be your Shliach, and therefore if it's a Schus Gomer, it could work. But then Tosfos asks a different kasha. He's a guy, and Zchiya doesn't work for a guy. So Tosfos says, he becomes a guy, and Zchiya come at the exact same moment. Zchiya of a geir spawn kachas. So then he is a Jew, and Zchiya could work. Then I saw a very nice shaila from the Machne Chaim. The Machne Chaim asks that we know that even though the halacha is Zochen L'Adam Shloi B'Fonav, we could do something good for someone else without his knowledge and consent. That's only in a situation where it's not chav lachrini, where it's not to the detriment of others. Here, it's a detriment to the others, because we learned the Gemara Masech Yevamos, Koshim Gerim LiYisrael. So Gerim Abed, for the rest of us. So how can we make a Zchiya for this Ger to the detriment of the rest of Klal Yisrael? So I saw answers to this question. The Rebbe Yashiv says it, nice Teretz. He says, why does the Gemara say it's to our detriment? Because the Torah speaks so many times how we have to treat Gerim right. So that's not to detriment, it's a challenge. It's a mitzvah. So to Koshim Gerim Yisrael, are we going to treat them right? That doesn't mean it's bad. It's a challenge to do a mitzvah. Another Teretz that I saw is, why is Koshim Gerim Yisrael? Because going back to something we said earlier, because they have this bad background where they're not used to acting properly. But that's on a regular Ger. Here we're talking about a Ger who's a child. So he has no experience in acting inappropriately. So he only knows the way we'll teach him, and therefore this Ger will not be Koshim L'Yisrael, and it's a Schus. That's not Chav L'Achrina. As the Gemara, this concept of Zochen L'Adam Shloi B'Fonav, we know, it's a Mishnah, many places throughout Shas. As the Gemara Tanita, didn't we learn in many places that Zochen L'Adam Shloi B'Fonav, Ve'en Chav L'Adam Shloi B'Fonav? So what do I have to say? Obviously, Rav Huna's din is correct. Answers the Gemara. Maybe it's not a schus, because a guy would rather remain a guy. He doesn't have to do the mitzvahs. The kaimelon, as the Gemara says in Masech the Gittin, the eved vade b'afkeir nichlehu, an eved is happy not to have to live this life of a Jew. Kamashmelon, that's what the Gemara teaches us. Hani mili godel, when is there this concept that a guy wants to live this easy life? By a guy that's a godel, the Tom Tamad Isura, he already experienced this free life, and therefore he doesn't want this life of Torah mitzvahs. Av katan schus aloy. It's a schus, he never experienced the other way, and for him it's a schus to be a Jew. In fact, this is why the Rishonim explain that an Eved we could not do this for. Because an Eved really, as we explained many times, has the best of both worlds. He's mechuyev mitzvahs like an Isha, but he doesn't have all the obligations. For him, it's not a schus, and this will not work. Ask the Gemara, Leimim Sile. Perhaps our Mishnah is a proof that Rav Huna's proposed mahalach on how to be megayer a katan would work. Because our Mishnah we just learned says, Hagyaris v'shvuri v'shifcha, sheniftu v'shnizgayru v'shnishtachru, b'chusis b'nai shalashonim v'yoyim echad. So we see that the geris could work when she's less than 3 years old. My lav, how did she become a ger, a geyaris, at such a young age? My lav, that v'linu ataz bezdin. So we see that bezdin can make a geris. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is not a proof to Rav Huna. Because hachem ma'iskinen, our Mishnah is referring to a situation, the gerish and his gairu, down of a menais of imai. That a whole family became gerim together. There, everybody agrees that the gerus of a katan is effective. The nichle b'may the avad avuan. They're very satisfied with the fact that no child wants that the entire family became gerim and they should remain gerim. Goyim. There, it certainly would be effective, and that is the case of our Mishnah. However, comments Rabbi Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yosef, even though this concept, this ruling of Rav Huna is correct, however, Dilu, when this ger, who Bezdin was Megayer as a young child, becomes a Godel, Yechaylin Limchais. He could say, you know what, I'm not interested in being a ger. And here we have a Machloikus Rishonim. Everybody agrees that in the case that Rav Huna referred to, where he became a ger without his family, Yechaylin Limchais. And we'll discuss more exactly how the Machal works. What will be the halacha if he became a ger when with his family? Does he too have the ability to be meicha, or only if Bezdin did it without his family? So most Rishonim, and that's the halacha, hold that if he became a ger together with, even if he became a ger with his family, doesn't make a difference. If he became a ger as a katan, he has the ability to be meicha and say, I'm not interested when he becomes a gadol. But the Chasam Sofer says there's a third situation. What's going to be the halacha where his mother was hayrosa shaloi b'kedusha, when she conceived him, she was not yet Jewish, but leidos b'kedusha, before he was born, she was mezgayer. Verech Sam Sofer says, such a child, even though he's also really a ger, because when he was conceived, his mother wasn't yet Jewish, that child doesn't have the ability to be meicha when he becomes an adult. That child is a Jew like all of us forever. Eithvei Abaya asks Abaya, how can we say that this person has the ability to be meicha? Our Mishnah says, "Hagiyaris v'shvuy v'shifcha, sheniftu v'shnizgayru v'shnishtachru." If it's pchusus b'nai shalashan v'yom echad, if this was when she was less than 3 years old, then ksubas masayim. Ask the Gemara, "V'sal k'daitach." If we're going to hold hagdilu that when these people, these gerim, become adults, yichaylon limchais, they could protest and not be Jewish anymore. Ask the Gemara, Yavina laksuba, will we give her a ksuba, the ozla, the achle b'giyusa? So as the Rashba explains the Gemara. The Rashba says that first we have a fundamental shaila. We're saying that they could be moicha and undo the geiris. What does that mean? Does that mean we could undo the geiris retroactively? Or is it only from here on? So most Rishonim hold that it's retroactive. Because you can't be a Jew and then not a Jew. Either you are or you aren't. So most Rishonim explain, Higdilu Yechayel Limchais means that they can retroactively make void the Geirs. But that leads itself to many very serious questions. If retroactively they're not Jewish, so all these years they touched wine or other things, it turns out that the wine is Stam Yenam because they turn out to be Goyim. So the Rashi says, indeed, the wine would be Stam Yenam. And in fact, that's why many Rishonim say, we only let him do things that are a problem with Rabbanan, because we always have in back of our mind, Yechayel Limchais, he may retract. But the Rashi says, we don't have to be concerned that he's going to do it. If he had a proper geiris, and he's growing up in a Jewish family, there's no reason to be concerned that he's going to retract. However, says the Rashba, when it comes to Dinei Mamonis, we have a rule, Hamaitzi Mechaveroi Olav Araya. We're very careful. So how are we going to give this girl the Ksuba money when there's always that distinct possibility that she's going to retract and she's not a deserving of a ksuba money, only a Jew is deserving of it. Answers the Gemara, you're right. We only give it to her when she becomes an adult. Ask the Gemara, what does that help? Even when she becomes adult, can she be moicha and retract tageris? Says the Gemara, kim shegdila sha'achas. Once she was an adult for one moment, v'loy michsa, and she didn't protest, shaveni chayil limchais. So the way most Rishonim explain is if this girl, let's go through a whole story, became a geyaris when she was less than 3, then got married to a man, then got divorced, so the ksuba is left with Besdin, and Besdin waits till she becomes an adult, and then if they see she's an adult and she can no longer retract, that's when we give her the ksuba money that she's deserving of. But now the question is, what does it mean, once we said, Tysus Rishonim, all the Rishonim asked this question, that once she's a gedolah for one moment, shuveni chay limchais, so how can we ever have a concept, or how can we ever have a situation of mechal? So there are many answers given by the Rishonim. Tysus Rishonim says a very interesting teretz. He says, since this person knows that they don't want to remain a ger, and it's right before a girl's 12th birthday, or right before a boy's 13th birthday, from, let's say, the birthday is tonight, and tonight the zman is 7 o'clock. From, let's say, 6:45 till 6:45, she'll constantly do averis. And that's how the geiris never happened. That's one teretz. Another teretz is that she's meicha before she's 12 or 13. What's going to be your obvious question? That a boy under 13, a girl under 12, has no das? Says the Chassam Sofer very bechiddush. Where is this concept that a boy only has das when he's 13? Where is this concept that a girl only has das when she's 12? That applies to Jews. But she's not Jewish. He's not Jewish. So even when they're below that age, they could have das and be moicha. Taisha says, another teretz. What the Gemara says, kim shigdilu yichayil limchais, it doesn't mean that they have to actually protest or not protest. It means we have to see them doing something as a Jew. We have to see them do a mitzvah. So until we see them do a mitzvah, they're not Jewish. And the last teretz, which is really the accepted teretz, is that they have a chance to protest. We ask them, do you want to remain a Jew? Or do you not want to remain a Jew? But this, obviously, and there are a lot of tshuvas on this, Shevet Alevi, Michas Yitzchak, Evan Yisrael, tshuvas from Haggis, discuss a very fundamental shaila. We have a child. This comes up often. A couple adopted a child who's not Jewish. They did the geiris that our Gemara refers to. Al Gemara says that they have to have an opportunity to say we want to remain Jewish or not. But what that means is we have to tell them that they were adopted. If they think that they were naturally born, they think they're born Jewish. So from here we see, and this is a general consensus amongst all the Paiskim, we have to tell them. There's no way not to tell them. Especially the Shevet Alevi discusses the Shaila. Let's say this girl, we're dealing with a girl and she's about to get married. If we don't tell her she was adopted, she'll only find out later. We always risk the chance that when she finds out, she'll say, you know what, I don't want to be a Jew. I don't need this. And then she will have had kids all these years. Those children are going. Because as we said, retroactively, she's non-Jewish. So we have to tell her. And certainly we have to tell her before a wedding, says the Shevet Alevi. The only question is, what do we have to tell her? So Rav Moshe says, and Rav Yisrael Yankov Fisher and Devin Yisrael says, we have to be very explicit. We have to tell her, we want you to know you're a geyoris, and you have the option to choose to remain in the fold, or not to be a Jew. Rav Shevet Alevi and Rav Moshe Sternberg and Tshuvas Hanhagos say we don't have to be that explicit. All we have to tell her is that you're a geyoris. We don't have to make her know. She doesn't have to come to the Daf Yomi Shir. And we don't have to tell her, you know, you have an option to stay or not stay. As long as we tell her she was adopted and she's a geyoris and she doesn't say anything, that's enough. Again, that's a b'di'evit. L'chatchila, we should tell her, and hopefully she'll say she wants to remain a Jew. Although that also leads itself to a lot of questions, which I'm not going to go into now. Let's say this person says, I want to remain a Jew, but he's not a Shomer Torah Mitzvah. So I want to remain a Jew, but he's not doing anything like a Jew. How does the halacha view that geirus? Very complicated shaila. Masav Rava asks Rava, we're going to learn on Daf Chav Tes, the Mishnah says, Eilu na'aros sheshlam knas. The following girls are entitled to a knas if they were raped or seduced. Haba al memzeres val nesina val akutis val giyaris val shvuyah val shivcha sheniftu vishnizgayru vishnishtachru p'chusis b'nai shalashan v'yom echad. Yeshlam knas. They're all entitled to a knas. Ask the Gemara the same question as we just asked. Vei amrit, if we're holding that igdilu, that this giyaris, when she becomes an adult, yuchaylam limchais, could retract her geiris. Ask the Gemara, Yavina la klas, the Ozla ve'ochle b'giyusa, we're going to give her a knas, and then she may retract the geiris, and she's not a Jew, and she has the knas. Ask the Gemara, l'chigodla, we only give it to her after she becomes an adult. Ask the Gemara, l'chigodla nami mimchi v'nafka, maybe she'll, after she becomes an adult, and after we gave it a knas, she could protest. Says the Gemara, kim shegdila sho'achas, once she is an adult, and she didn't protest, so the Gemara asked the exact same question from two Mishnais. One was from our Mishnah, and one was from the Mishnah of Elonaris. Exact same question, exact same answer. Abai and Rava. So the Gemara asked the obvious question. Abai loy omer k'Rava. Abai did not ask the question from Rava. Hosum k'nosa. Because there it's a knas, and that's why, even though there's a concern that she may retract, we still prefer that the perpetrator of the sin should pay the knas, even though it may end up in the hands of somebody who's not deserving of it, because if he doesn't pay the knas, he did an aveira and get away free. Rava didn't prefer to ask the question from our Mishnah, because ksuba, by ksuba perhaps, we give her the ksuba, even though there's a concern that she may retract, because a ksuba is so important, as we've explained so many times, because you don't want it to be easy for them to break the marriage. So there's interesting shaila in the Shita. The Shita discusses what, do Abai and Rava agree or disagree? And the Shita says, some say that Abai and Rava disagree, and Abai will hold in the case of Knas, we give it a knas even when she's a minor, even though there's a chance that she may retract. And Rava holds that in the situation of our Mishnah, we give it a ksuba, even though there's a chance that she may retract. Another opinion that the Shita says is that they agree. They just argued which is the stronger kasha that we should ask from. Just before we end the Shia, there's a very interesting Miches Chinuch. Miches Chinuch says the following halacha. Interesting shaila. What will be the halacha in the following situation? We have this cotton, this ger cotton, we did milah. He becomes an adult, he says, I'm out. I don't want to be a Jew. Our Gemara just taught us he can retract. Now, later on, he reconsiders. He says, I want to become a ger. So he can become a ger. But we know that a ger has to have tefillah, and if he's previously circumcised, he has to have a tavas dam bris. Will this person require a tavas dam bris? On one hand, we'll say every ger requires a tavas dam bris. On the other hand, a ger, even if he had a circumcision, that circumcision is meaningless. But his bris was a real bris. So will he have to have a new tavas dam bris, or can he rely on his original bris? So Miches Chinuch says that this ger could rely on his original bris, and even if he retracted on his geris, and now becomes a ger, tefillah will be required, we won't have to have a tavas dam bris. Says the Mishnah, Hagol shabal haktana, if a girl had relations with a ktana, the katan shabal gdaila, so a girl that had relations with a ktana, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, since she's under 3 years old, the psulim, even if they're broken, come back. Similarly, katan shabal gdaila, katan is unable to have bia. Mukas eitz is a woman who was wounded by samakam. Ksubasim asaim, all of these women are entitled to a full-fledged ksuba. They're considered psulim, regular psulis, divrei remeya. The Chamayim, Mukasaitz, a girl who's a Mukasaitz, is only entitled to Ksubasamana. And as the Rishonim explain, what is the basis of the machloikas between Ramea and the Chachamim? According to Ramea, although this girl is a Mukasaitz, she's just as attractive to the husband as any Basul is. And that's why she's entitled to the full-fledged Ksuba. The Chacham, on the other hand, hold, since she's a Mukasaitz, she's not as attractive as every other Basula, and she's only entitled to a Mana. Basula Amana. Grusha v'chalutzim and a Nesuin. You have this girl, she's still a Basula, but she already experienced Nesuin. So, even though she's still a Basula, says the Mishnah Ksubas Amana, she's only entitled to a Ksuba v'mana. And when the husband has relations with her, it turns out that she doesn't have psulim, he can't have any complaint. So there's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim here. What would be the halach if we have such a woman who had nesuin, but tells the husband, I want you to know that even though I had nesuin, I never had relations with my husband, and I'm a psula. And the husband is well aware of that. Will she be entitled to masayim or mana? Some Rishonim say that if it's obvious that she's a psula, she's entitled to Masayim. Other Rishonim say that no, the Rashba seems to say this, that once our Mishnah identified this girl as a person that's not entitled to Masayim, even if she says she's a psula, and even if he believes her, and even if it's true, it doesn't make a difference. She's in the category of a woman that only gets a mana. Continues the Mishnah, Hagyaris v'ashvuyi v'ashivcha, if they were older, unlike the Rishash says, it doesn't have to be older. Even if they're already 3 years old, then there's no more Besula Chayzrim. There the halacha is Ksubas Mana, they're only entitled to Mana, and there's no Tanis Psulim, because the Ksulim did not come back. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Merav, Katna Baal Agdoila. If a Katan had relations with Agdoila, Asa Mukasaitz, she has the status of a Mukasaitz. That's Rav's opinion. Kamrita kamei de Shmuel. When we said this in front of Shmuel, Amar ein mukas eitz v'basar. She's not considered a mukas eitz, even if she had relations with a minor man, minor male. So there's a very big machlokes we're showing him here. Tosfos explains the Gemara is referring to a situation where the psulim are intact, the hymen is intact. Still, Rav holds that since she experienced Bia, she's considered a Mukasaitz. And Shmuel holds the Psulim are intact, the Bia was from a cotton, so that's why she's considered fine. But what would be if the Psulim were broken? If the Hymen was broken, then there would be no Shaila, Tosfos says, everybody would agree that she's at least a Mukasaitz. Other Rishonim say that it makes no difference if the Basulim were broken or not, since the Bia was only the Bia of a cotton, the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel is relevant. Do we consider a Mukasaitz or not? Ika de Masn Lalahashmatza, others reported this Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel in the following manner. Bap Inafsha, not in the name of Yehuda or Rav, rather in the following manner. Kotna Balag Doila, if a cotton had relations with a Doila, Rav Amma saw Mukasaitz, she has the status of Mukasaitz, but Shmuel Amma Emukasaitz, the boss says she doesn't have the status of a Mukasaitz. So all the Mefarshim want to know what's the difference if the Mechlokes is direct or if it was reported by Rav Yehuda. So one Teretz I saw is as follows. We know that throughout Shas, the Halacha, when there's Mechlokes, Rav and Shmuel, we follow the opinion of Rav. Unless, but that's only in a situation when Rav and Shmuel debated each other directly. But if Rav said Halacha, and then later Shmuel said differently, we always follow Basra. We always follow the latter opinion. So if it was reported by Yehuda Merav, so first Rav said his opinion, and Shmuel was the latter opinion, we follow Shmuel. But in the other version, we have Rav and Shmuel debating each other, and there we follow Rav. That's one way to Mefarshim explain. Another way to Mefarshim explain is according to Yehuda Merav, the Machlokes was a Machlokes regarding our Mishnah, which is a Shail of Mominus. Is she entitled to a Ksuba? How much of a Ksuba? We know that when Hilchasak Rav be Surei, Hilchasak Shmuel Bedini. So if it's a question of Mominus, we follow Shmuel. So that's if the Machlokes refers to our Mishnah. But if the Machlokes says, is she a Psula, which is a question of may a kind God marry her, then we follow Rav's opinion. And that's the difference between the two versions. Ask the Gemara, Maser of Oishia, how can we suggest that she's considered a mukus eitz? Our Mishnah says, Kot l'lisha ba'al k'dayana, v'kot na'ba'al k'dayla, u'mukus eitz k'subas ma'asai in divra meya. But everybody agrees that Katan Shabbal Agdoila, the Ksuba is a Messiah. Amar Rava says, Rava, this is the way to understand our Mishnah. Hachikama. God la Baal Aktana. If a girl has relations with a Ktana, for like Klum, it doesn't affect her. She's a full-fledged Psula and a Ksuba is Messiah. Because the Pachs Mikan, when a girl has relations when she's less than 3 years old, is Knais. It's like poking your eye, where a tear comes out, and it comes, a new tear comes in its place. The continues the Mishnah, according to Rava's explanation, the katna ba'al agdayla, if a katna has relations with a agdayla, that has the status of a mukas eitz, or some mukas eitz, a mukas eitz, gufa, and what is the din of a mukas eitz? That's a machloikis, dremei rabbon. Comments Rami Bachama. Amr Rami Machama, Machlaikis, when do Ramei and the Rabbanan debate what is the halacha of a mukas eitz? Kishehikaba, if when he married her, he was aware that she's a mukas eitz. The Ramei, Madam Lola Bagris, the Ramei says she's like a Begaris, and just like a Begaris, we explained, doesn't necessarily have all of a psulim intact. She also is the same. Rabbanan Madam Lola Bula, and Bula gets, and Begaris gets a suba of Messiah. And Rabbanan compared to Bula that gets only ksuba of a mono. Avaloi hikaba. If she didn't disclose to him that she was a mukaset, divrei hakol v'loi klum. It's a mekachtos. Why didn't she disclose it? Ask the Gemara, v'remeya, my madam alayla begeris, why does he compare this mukaset to begeris? Wouldn't make more sense the dame la Bula? Answers the Gemara, Bula is avaba maisb de adam. Bula experienced a real relation with another man. Ha, a mukas eitz, lois avba mas b'le adam, never experienced relations with a man. V'rabbanan, on the other hand, asked the Gemara, adam adam le labula, instead of comparing her to Bula and saying that she's only entitled to 100, nidnai le bergeris, and say she should get 200, says the Gemara, bergeris, lois avba mas aklal. A begeris, the only thing that happened to begeris is that she became 12 and a half years old. But nothing happened to her body. On the other hand, ha, a mukas eitz, is abba masa. Says the Gemara, but at this point, Rav is telling us at this point, avaloi hikaba, if she didn't disclose to him that she was a mukas eitz, divrei hakavaloi kolam, then she's not entitled to any ksuba. Because as the Rashi explains, according to Rava, if she didn't disclose, it's a mekachtos. Mas Rav Nachman, ask Rav Nachman, is this indeed true? We're going to learn a Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel. He amaris mukas eitz ani. She says I'm a mukas eitz. Vu amar loy ki ela drusus at. He does be with her, and it's clear that she's not a virgin. The question is, why not? She claims because she's a mukas eitz, and she says no, because you had relations. Rav Gmiel Rav Lezo Oymen Amenes, Rav Gmiel says that we trust what she says. Now the question is, obviously, he wasn't aware that she was a mukas eitz. So even if she's saying the truth, that she is a mukas eitz, why does she get a ksuba? Didn't Rava just tell us that if a girl doesn't disclose to her husband that she's a mukas eitz, she doesn't get any ksuba? Ella amar Rava, bein v'loi hikaba, whether she did or didn't disclose to him that she's a mukas eitz, l'rameya, according to Rameya, she's entitled to Messiah. So that Mishnah that said that if she didn't disclose to him that she was a mukas eitz, and now when he did be her, he sees there's something wrong here, and she says, you know what the problem is, I'm a mukas eitz, and she gets a full-fledged ksuba according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer, it follows the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbanan, according, at this point, Rav is telling us, according to Rabbanan, we make the following dichotomy. Hikaba, if he was aware that she's a mukas eitz, she gets a mono. V'loi hikaba, but if she's not aware of it, therefore, klum, she doesn't get anything for not telling him. However, says the Gemara, v'hadabei Rava. Rava retracted, and Rava ultimately held that even according to Rabbanon, even if loy hikaba, if she didn't disclose to him that she's a mukas etz, she's still entitled to ksuba of a mono. The Tanya. Ketzer hatzah shemra. What is the situation of hatzah shemra? Says the Braisa. Bala Bezdin, The husband comes to Beis Din. V'ama plaini lemitzasi lebitcha psulim. He tells the father of the girl, your daughter wasn't a virgin. Says the Mishnah, the Braisa, im yesh edim shezintza tachtof, if there are edim that she had an adulterous relationship after she was an arusa, yesh leksubim mana. She only gets a mana. Ask the Gemara, stops the Gemara right away. Im yesh edim shezintza tachtof, if she does, if she was mezana, baskilihi. She's an eshes ish. She's chayiv skila. And like Rishonim explained, not necessarily that she's going to get the skila, because for skila you need edim and asra. But the point is, she certainly doesn't deserve a ksuba. Hachikama. Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand the braisa. Im yesh edim shezintza tachtov baskila. If she had an adulterous affair after she was an arusa, she's chayiv misa. Zintza mikara. But if she had this relationship before she was an arusa, yesh le ksuba mana. Then she's entitled to ksuba of a mana. From here we could extrapolate, and we'll talk about this more in the next year. If a man married a girl with the expectation that she was a psula, the nimsa b'ula, and then it turns out that she's a b'ula, yesh le ksuba mana. She's still entitled to ksuba of a mana. Umasr of Nachman, asked Rav Nachman, is that true? When a man married a woman, expecting her to be a psula, and she's a b'ula, she has full-fledged relations with a man, she's still entitled to a mana? Doesn't it say, Hanoisis Isha, if somebody marries a woman, v'lemotzla psulam, it turns out she's not a psula. He marries Mishner Stani Nanasti. She claims that I was raped after I became an arusa, v'nestap chsadei, when it was your bad luck. Vuimer, and he says, Li Ella Achlayasticha, you had a relationship before the Erisin, Vayamechi Mechatos, and you were not a psula, I should have never married, I never owed you 200 zuz. Velesla Klal. Vamlu Rav Chibar Oven, Efshe Rav Amram Vigdkola Gedora Ador Yasvi, Karmel Hashmatza. They were sitting there as Rav Sheshis was saying this ruling, that Hakonis as a psula, he marries a woman with the expectation that she's a psula, and she turns out to b'ula, she gets a mana. Here we have a braisa that clearly says that if she was a b'ula, she's not entitled to anything. B'shani, my mekachtaos, nami masayim. Indeed, if it turns out that she was a b'ula, she gets nothing. Avo, mana esla. You get that amrit less like klal. So what's going on? Does she get mana or does she get nothing? V'amarava. So Rava in response said, "Man the kamaisiv." The person was asking the question, "Shapa kamaisiv." Mekach tar legami mashma. And Rava is now teaching us, not like Rav Sheshis, that if a man marries a woman with the expectation she's a psula, and it turns out that she's a b'ula, she gets nothing. Ask the Gemara El Kashahach. This Bryce said that she does get a mana. What was the case that she gets a mana, where it turns out different than he expected? If there were edim that she had a relationship after she was in arusa, did aloch is she gets skila. Zinsami kara, if she had a relationship with a man prior to erusin, and it turns out that she's a bula, there she gets like klum, she gets nothing. Nimtza mukaset, what's going to be alocha if he married her with the expectation that she's a psula, and then it turns out that she's a mukaset, yesh le ksuba mana. She gets a mana. So let's figure it out. For Rava, who the amr le rabbanan lo hikabav lo klum, didn't Rava just teach us earlier that she gets nothing? And here Rava is telling us that she gets mana. El shema mana, had to be Rava mahu, and Rava retracted, and ultimately he held that even according to rabbanan, if a girl got married with the expectation she's a psula, and then turns out that she's a mukaset, she gets a mana, and according to Rameya, she gets Masayim.